Hello and welcome to another edition of Animates. We bring you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Jo Van Cool, and today we have an interview with Smart Pups. Now today I'm going to be talking to Janelle from Smart Pups, which operates on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. But first of all, let me introduce you to Janelle. Hello.
Hello, Jo. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it'd be lovely to talk to you and find out about your organisation. Does it only operate in Queensland?
No, we actually provide dogs Australian-wide. Our head office is in Queensland, but we certainly travel to place dogs anywhere in Australia. We've actually even placed a dog in New Zealand, and later this year we'll actually be placing a dog in the UK.
Right. Well, that's amazing. So now, I think your organisation was founded by Patricia McAllister. Is that not true?
That is correct. She is our founder and CEO of the organisation.
And what inspired her to get into this?
So Trisha's got a fairly in-depth background in dog training. She's been around dogs from a very, very young age. So she's, I guess, got an innate sense of being able to read dogs. So she's always had a passion to work with dogs. In 2000, she started an organisation where she was training dogs that had behavioural issues. And while she was doing that, she had a friend contact her about training a dog for a child with autism. So Trish thought she would like to understand that a little bit more and started doing a little bit of research. And what she found out was that there was no organisations in Australia that were actually training assistance dogs for children. They were certainly doing them for adults, but not children. So I guess Trish, the inspiration on that was to, you know, be able to change your life for a child. And, that's why she actually did a little bit of study on training assistance dogs. And she actually spent some time over in America doing a cadetship over there, and on her way back on the plane, Smart Pups was actually born. So from there she established the non-profit organisation and, started training dogs for special needs children. We do have a force of employees, so we have trainers. They are actually paid, and we have a couple of admin staff that are paid. So all our other work is volunteer, so all our charity collection, our charity shop, our boxes that go out to shops and things like that need collection, they're all done by volunteers. So we've probably got about 50 volunteers that work for us.
Well, and it's a bit like 2RPH really, because mostly we're volunteers, but we have 3 or 4 paid people.
Yeah, I guess the core staff, training a dog is not necessarily a thing that everybody, knows or can do. So we sort of spend a lot of time training our trainers to be able to train the dogs. So there's a lot of resource that actually goes into making sure that the training is, following the modules and making sure that our end result is a fully trained assistance dog.
I'm particularly interested in the autism aspect of the work that you do. So if a child in, for example, New South Wales wanted an assistance dog for their autism problem, would you come, or do you do it by remote control, so to speak?
Well, we train the dog. So basically a client will put an application in for an assistance dog. So there's sort of a process through that where they've got to apply, and we then assess whether we can actually fulfil the needs of that family and that child. Once they're in the program, we then start training a dog based on the information that we've received in that application. And I guess through that sort of process we are also communicating and getting additional information. So as we sort of get through to the task to be claiming, we sort of start asking for, a day in the life of the family, where they would normally go, what they normally do. So all that is done remotely, just with a lot of communications backwards and forwards. When we actually place the dog, we do actually take the dog, and a staff member goes and stays in the same location and basically spends a week there running through what the dog can do and how the family gets the dog to do the things that need to happen when they need to happen.
Amazing. Right. Now, how long then does it take to actually train the dog?
The training is between 12 and 14 months. I mean, each dog, you know, we are dealing with a living creature, so each dog, you know, will have its own personality and will have its own, I guess, traits. So, you know, we can sometimes get a dog trained and fully trained and passed its PAT testing, which is a public access testing, you know, on the 12-month mark. Sometimes they might take a little bit longer. So it's usually between, as I say, 12 and 14 months.
Right. And in that time, presumably they've really learnt a lot. So that
they... Oh, they do.
Yeah. Because dogs are very quick to learn, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I guess it's the training. So when you think about, you know, we have full-time trainers that usually cover between 6 and 7 dogs at any one time. So, yeah, they're working full-time and they've got 7 dogs to train. You know, a dog can only really be trained for 20 to 30 minutes at a time. So within a day, there's multiple training sessions that are going on with those dogs. So it is that repetitive training that we can do, and because we can do it so consistently, that's why we can do it sort of fairly quickly.
And is there any particular dog that works best with an autistic child?
Well, again, it comes back down to the child. We'll match the dog to the child. So if the child is a very active child, we'll make sure that we're giving them a dog that's an active dog. It's no use giving a child that, you know, wants to run around and be active a dog that wants to be a little bit slower and not necessarily run around. So we match the child and the dog together. With our breeds, we find the Labradors, the Golden Retrievers and the Labradoodles are our best ones for training, and we tend to do the Labradoodles mainly for children that may have allergies and things like that.
Yes, because they don't shed fur, I imagine.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Now, can you enumerate the pluses for an autistic child having a dog?
Well, I guess a dog that's being placed with a child with autism, you know, the dog actually enhances the quality of life for that child with the autism. You know, the children will feel safer, calmer, they understand through the bond with their smart pup the world a little bit better. You know, we've got children that haven't been to mainstream school because they can't be in that environment because it's so unusual for them and they don't feel safe. We place the dog with families, and within 3 to 4 months, that child's going to mainstream school. So the impact on the family as well as just the child can be actually quite massive, the changes that happen really, really quickly. You know, we've got lots and lots of stories where we've placed the dog during the placement week, and of course the trainers come back and do a bit of a debrief with us and talk to us about what's been happening in that family's life through that week that they've basically been living with the family. And, you know, we've got families that have got a child which hasn't been able to sleep alone. So either mum or dad have had to sleep with the child. Within, you know, 2 to 3 days of that dog turning up in the household, the child's sleeping in its own bed with dog beside it. So mum and dad have got their bed back together and they're not having to have the child sleep there. So there's lots of stories like that where within a couple of days, that dog has made a massive impact, not just on the child, but on the family. Because I guess autism is one of those things that it does impact heavily on a family. You know, brothers and sisters, their life is not necessarily the same as is with a family that doesn't have an autistic child. So it does have a lot of changes that happen really quickly.
I'm sure it must. Can you enumerate a specific occasion when you noticed an autistic child specifically bouncing back, as it were?
Yeah, actually, a good example will be an event. We hold an annual event every year. Well, it's held for us, and the purpose of that event is to raise enough money to train a dog for a particular client. And we put it out to our clients to see who would like to be involved with this event. And this year, a lovely lady and her boy came up from the Gold Coast and participated in the event. Now, the child doesn't have a lot of mobility, so tends to be in a wheelchair to help with mobility, but also can't be in environments where there's lots of noise and lots of people. Now, this event, we had 380 people, so as you can imagine, lots of noise, lots of things happening. Mum's trying to be participating in the things that we're needing them to do in, I guess, getting the information out to people that this is the family that's going to be getting the dog, and you're having the dog there to introduce to the family and that sort of stuff. We also had an older dog there which had been trained for, I guess, going through its training for an autism assist dog, and it was quite interesting watching this dog, this older dog, interact with the child, and with no instruction from trainer, the dog just knew what it needed to do, and it nuzzled up to the child, it comforted the child, and that young boy ended up staying at that event for 4 hours just because that dog was there to comfort and keep him calm. And he actually ended up having a lovely time. He was laughing and smiling. And in reality, that little group that we sort of had sitting at our table probably got more out of the event because they were seeing this interaction with his dog than anybody else because they didn't get to see it. But yeah, it was just the dogs do have an innate sense and really evident with this dog that knew this child needed its support and freely just gave it. And a lovely family. So, you know, it was a really nice time.
You're wonderful for everyone, I should think.
Yeah.
I gathered that you can train your own dog. Is that right?
Yeah, look, I guess that's one of the things we're investigating at the moment, and we're really doing it because people want to be a little bit more involved. And I guess what our skills are training. I mean, that's what we're really good at doing. So what we want to be able to do is have these dogs that are being trained by, I guess, self-trained by people who may not necessarily have a training skill or environment that they've been training in before, and basically be able to give them the skills that they are then able to go through the training. It's certainly a long and hard, I guess, process for these people, and it's making sure that they're aware of the work that's actually involved. And what we've found is the couple of pilot cases that we've done is that they eventually sort of say, this is too hard, I now need you to do it for me, because there is a lot of training that goes into these dogs and it is a lot of hours, and they need to understand that that's what's involved in it. So I guess we're trying to facilitate that rather than, I guess, maybe not people who aren't quite as qualified as us in the assistance dog, sort of leading people astray and allowing them to start training a dog and not necessarily supporting them through the whole process. So it's really about being able to provide a quality of training that ensures these dogs have that public access that they need.
Yes, I'm sure. And it is quite difficult to train a dog yourself, isn't it?
Well, and especially when you've got task specific training that you need to do. So it's sort of, again, matching up what do I need this dog to be trained in, and then obviously being able to have those skills to be able to do that training. So it's a little bit like our prison. We've got a prison program and we've got prisoners that actually do some of our training. And whilst we send trainers up there, they're not physically doing the training. What they're doing is teaching the prisoners to do the training and giving them the guidance on what they need to do. So the train your own is, I guess, very similar to that. And I guess that's where the skills, because we had those skills prison program, and that's been quite successful, we decided that we would be able to help other people go through those steps and end up with a quality trained dog at the end of it.
Wonderful. Perhaps you'd like to tell our listeners how to get in touch with you should they want a dog to assist them in some way. Would you like to tell our listeners how to get in touch?
Certainly. The website is our best place to go. So it's all the W's, smartpups.org.au. There is an application form on there for them to complete and fill in. And there is also, as I say, a lot of information. So that's the best place to start. We've also got some reviews of clients who have got dogs working for them, and also our graduate page, which also talks about what these dogs and how these dogs are changing people's lives. So, as I say, a lot of information on there, so that's the best place to go.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for sparing the time, because I know you're very busy, but thank you so much for
my pleasure
that, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of inquiries about this. Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much.
Thank you so much, Jo.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks, research by Joseph Svansa, and I'm Jo Van Cool. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.